So that leading of the Spirit of God that you and I are endeavoring to become familiar with, standing at the crossroads of spirit and flesh, are we going to yield to the willingness of the Spirit of God or the weakness of our flesh? The Spirit of God is there, present and able to reveal to us the character of the Father. And we must know Him.
Can people tell that you're a Christian by your words and actions? Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, learn how to hear God, follow His ways, and become living proof of His love.
Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. My name is Pastor George Pearsons. I'm here with my son Jeremy today. We've been here all week talking about proof, living proof. Are you a Christian? Prove it. Show me. Show me the money. Anyway, I think that it's important as we start this morning, and as we're going into our last two broadcasts of this week, bringing it home, bringing it right down to where the understanding of this is concerned. Let's pray over this together, and then we're going to get started. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word of God. We thank you for your Word today, and Lord, as we continue to dig into understanding this idea of choosing spirit over flesh, Lord, we thank you and honor you that by the Holy Spirit, we are able to make the right decisions. We thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Jeremy, where do you want to start today?
Well, I want to start in the book of John, chapter 4 today. And again, all this week, and talking about becoming living proof, talking about recognizing the heart of the Father, and not just the heart of the Father, this is the command of the Father. You know, we've kind of touched in and around on this, but this is what Jesus said. He said, this is a commandment that I give to you. And when we recognize who this commandment is from, this is it. All throughout the New Testament, you find that all the law is fulfilled when we love each other. And Jesus said, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so much of what we're talking about comes back down to a revelation of God, who He is, what His Word says. And just like we've talked about this week, there is no way in and of ourselves we are ever going to take this fruit and just stick it on the tree and hope that love sticks, you know, because as soon as you just stick it on there, it's not going to stay until there's a revelation, until there's a yielding to the Spirit of God. I want to show you something, and I want us to look together in the book of John chapter 4. This is a really interesting account in the life and ministry of Jesus. And once again, our basis for all this is becoming familiar with Him.
Yeah.
Coming to a place where we know His ways. And that's what a disciple is. I mean, a disciple is someone who has followed someone else so closely, so intimately, so personally, that it gets to the point where you could speak for them. And that's what we're saying and what we're doing here today. We're declaring that we know God so well that we'll sit in front of a camera and speak for Him. That's a big deal.
It is.
And if somebody's going to do that on my behalf, if somebody were going to go stand and get on camera and say, well, this is what Jeremy would say, it better be somebody who knows me.
Right.
It better be somebody who spent some quality time with me and somebody I can trust. So in John chapter 4, let's begin in the third verse. It's talking about Jesus here. It says, He left Judea, departed again to Galilee, but He needed to go through Samaria. So He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew," He said to her, "if you knew the gift of God that was sitting in front of you, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." He says to her, "If you knew, if you had any idea who you were talking to." And we have been talking about becoming so familiar with the ways and becoming so familiar with the character and the Spirit of God that we know how to choose Him at a moment's notice. And Jesus is sitting in front of this woman. Here is the Son of the living God, the Messiah that's come to save the world, save the day. And He's sitting here talking to her, and she doesn't know. She has no idea who she's talking to.
Right.
Is it possible that you and I as believers could sit in the presence of God, be surrounded by Him, and not know? Let's go on. The woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing into everlasting life." The woman said to Him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus is endeavoring to solicit from her one thing, belief, faith. He's endeavoring to get her to recognize who she's talking to. And he's dropping these hints, giving her these clues all along the way. It's not about the water, lady. It's about me. It's about your belief in me. If you believe me, I'll give you some water. It's everlasting water. You'll never thirst again. And she can't get her mind off this water. Jesus begins to take a different approach with her. Sometimes He has to go down that second road with us. And He says to her, "You know what? Go call your husband. Tell him to come here." The woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you are with now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." And the woman said to Him, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Brilliant. Then she changes the entire direction of the conversation. She recognizes that this is not just another guy. So we're going to get religious in our conversation here. She says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And He's endeavoring to bring her around to the fact and the truth of who she's talking to. And she says, "Well, I know the Messiah is coming." Now, here's one that claims to know about the Messiah. She, in trying to appear smart, trying to appear brilliant, trying to appear spiritual, says, "Well, I know the Messiah is coming." Basically, she's saying to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, "Well, you have your opinions and I have mine, and you think this and I think that. We'll see. You know, the Messiah is coming." And she even says it. She says, "When the Messiah has come, He'll tell us all things." In other words, He'll let us know who's right or wrong. And Jesus says to her, "I who speak to you am He." And we've been in this series in church even here recently called "Hello, My Name is God." And that is what Jesus had to say to this woman. He had to say to her, "Hello, My name is God." This belief that He's been endeavoring to solicit from her all along, He finally had to show up and say, put a name tag on and say, "I'm the one you're talking to. The one you're talking about, I'm Him." Now, how often in our lives, here we are, the ones that qualify ourselves as spiritual, the ones that know the Messiah is coming, the ones that know the Word, but yet how many times has the Lord shown up in our lives and we've not been quick to see it? How many times has mercy been extended to us? Has love and compassion and the grace of God been extended to us over and over and over? And we've not been quick to see it. In all of this, Dad, what we're talking about, being living proof, it comes back down to salvation in its purest form, and that is knowing the Father, knowing Him through His Word, knowing Him through the light of revelation, through the witness of the Spirit. You've talked to us already this week about praying in the Spirit, praying much in the Holy Ghost, calling on that help of the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost is there. Jesus said when He told the disciples, "It's better for you that I go away, because if I go away, the Spirit of truth will come and He'll guide you into all truth. But He will not speak on His own authority." He's going to speak the things I tell Him. And the only thing I'm telling Him is what the Father's telling me. So that leading of the Spirit of God that you and I are endeavoring to become familiar with, standing at the crossroads of spirit and flesh, are we going to yield to the willingness of the Spirit of God or the weakness of our flesh? The Spirit of God is there, present and able to reveal to us the character of the Father.
Yeah.
And we must know Him. We must know that when we're sitting and having a conversation with Him, we've got to know that it's Him we're talking to. We've got to be quick to see Him in our lives, quick to recognize His presence. In 1 Kings, Elijah, God was dealing with him about some things and said, I want you to go out to this mountain. He said, stand on this mountain. And he went out there, and as he stood on the side of that mountain, there came this great wind. And the Bible says this wind ripped apart the rocks on this mountain. But it says the Father, God was not in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake, but He was not in the earthquake. Mm-hmm. And after the earthquake came a fire, but He was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice. And we have to be so quick to recognize that still, small voice. Look at this in Psalm with me, Psalm chapter 46. Another illustration of this, and it'll make it very clear to you. Again, talking about recognizing the moving of the Spirit of God. Not looking for the wind. Not looking for the earth to shake and the fires to rage around us before we wake up and think, oh, maybe that was God. No, listen. Don't make God show up with a name tag on before you begin to recognize Him. Psalm 46. Let me get there. And let's read this entire psalm, because this psalm is famous for one particular verse, but when you start to read everything that was going on around it, just the light of revelation will hit you and you'll see this. Mm-hmm. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Listen to the imagery here. Yeah. I love the poetry in the Word of God. And don't just let this be words on a page. Let this paint a picture in your heart of what is going on here. I mean, you've got the earth itself being removed. You've got the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea. The waters roaring and they're troubled and the mountains shake with swelling. It says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth, who makes war cease to the ends of the earth, who breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two, who burns the chariot in the fire. I mean, just listen to all of this that's going on around us in the world that we live in. Once again, the earth just shattering and mountains being thrown into the sea. And then God shows up in the middle of it. And in verse 10, He says, be still and know that I am God. Just like He said to Elijah, it was that still, small voice. All throughout this week, we've talked about what has carried us to this crossroad of spirit and flesh. This is talking about wars that rage.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us find ourselves in these wars every single day. Wars with people, wars of words, wars of attitudes, and trying to one-up each other. And God's saying, I am not in that. That is not me. That is not my spirit. If you look through all throughout this, you'll find that it's not God that's causing the earth to be removed and the nations to rage. As a matter of fact, it says, come behold the works of the Lord. He makes wars to cease.
Yeah.
That war that you're at, and that you're in right now, maybe it's with a family member, maybe it's with a coworker, husband or wife, son or daughter, any kind of relationship, God is the one that makes that war to cease. And it's the yielding to the still, small voice. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And here's God saying to us today, be still. Just be still. When you stand there at that crossroad and all those words of getting even, because this, again, this is what comes so naturally to us. Naturally, we want to argue. Naturally, we want to defend ourselves. We want to rise up in the face of a challenge. Naturally, this is who we are. But just before those things come flying out, just before those words of getting even and getting revenge, just as they're at the tip of your tongue, the instruction of the Lord is, be still. I can make this war to cease if you'll just be still and know me. Become familiar with the fruit of my spirit.
Yeah.
You're already very intimately familiar with the proof of the flesh. We're well aware. We've walked it out. We've seen it. But now he's saying what we read in Romans this week. Don't be conformed to that.
Right.
Be transformed.
Right.
Let your mind be renewed to what I've called you to. Change your mind about all of this. I can cause this war to cease. I can bring peace to this situation. But you're going to have to know me when you see me. You're going to have to recognize my voice when it's being delivered to you. Proverbs chapter 1 is a great illustration. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, at the entrance to the city gates, in the busy marketplace, in the intersections. It lists all these places where the spirit of the wisdom of God is speaking. And like I said, the marketplace, the intersections, the busy streets, the entrance to the city. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, what is so special about these places that's where you would speak? And he said, nothing. He said, that's where you live your life. Mm-hmm. You live your life out in those streets. You live your life in those intersections. You live your life in the marketplace, at the workplace, in the job, in your home. Yes, the Lord speaks to us in those private times, in the closet of prayer. Yes, we need those. But he also recognizes that we live our lives in and among this world. And yet the spirit of wisdom is still there for us
to
hear it. Now, that same proverb goes on, and wisdom is crying out saying, how long will you stay simple? In other words, how long are you going to quit ignoring me? I've got your answer. I've got your way out. I've got the solution. It's the Spirit of God rising up big and strong on the inside of you. Turn down the voice of the weak flesh. Turn up the voice of the willing spirit. Yield to the Spirit. There you stand. Yes, I know what they said to you. Yes, I know how they mistreated you. I was right there. Because when they did it to you, the Spirit of God's saying they did it to me. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, here's something for you. If the world hates you, know that they hated me first. But if the world loves you, know that it's because you're one of them.
Yeah, it should be no surprise. But
it should
the persecution and what's being said about us.
And we should be ready
should be
for
no
it.
Surprise.
Not only ready for it, but that should be an indicator of us in the right place. So when they do hate you, Jesus saying, when they cursed you, when they hated you, not only did they do it to me first, but when they did it to you, they did it to me. And I'm still with you. I'm still in you. I'm still on you.
Yeah.
And if you'll choose me here in this situation, we're going to look at this some tomorrow, but in Romans chapter 13, the instruction there is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
same way I would put on a new shirt or put on clothes or walk into the closet one morning, decide what I'm going to wear. I don't want to wear that. I don't want to wear that. I don't want to wear that. I want to wear this. I'm going to put this on. Put on the Lord Jesus. You stand there in confrontation with somebody. You stand there when you have every quote-unquote right to say what's on your mind, to voice your opinion.
Yeah.
It's the recognition that just because I have a right to an opinion, that is not what makes my opinion right.
We should be listening all the time to what the Spirit is saying, even in the midst of that. You know, Jeremy, it reminds me of this illustration of an anchor, a news anchor. And how a lot of times we don't see the little earpiece that they have.
Yeah.
And especially when something is going on, something's happening, they're right in the middle of a big story, somebody's talking to them. Somebody's giving them information.
Nobody else can hear it.
No one else can hear it, but it's something that they're hearing on the inside that gives them guidance and direction and tells them what to say. And that's what the Spirit of God does for us. That's why we have to be still on the inside all the time to be able to hear that voice so distinctly and so clearly.
Yeah.
Just like that earpiece that's on the inside that we begin to recognize his voice.
And that's
the important thing.
And we're talking about proof.
Yep.
You know, we're talking about this being the way we prove out who we are. Romans chapter 8 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
That's right.
I'm a son of God. Prove it. How do you prove it? By being led by his spirit. That is a indicative, indicting characteristic of a son or a daughter of God, is that they are led by the Spirit.
Led by the Spirit.
Crucify the flesh with its passions and its lust. Yield to the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust
That's
of the
good.
Flesh.
That's good. This scripture here, as we begin to wrap up this section, Psalm 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He'll speak peace unto his people and to his saints. And it says, but let them not turn again to folly. Mm-hmm. Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. And so let's pray over this right now. Let's be still and know that he is God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you right now and pray together over this message today. Father, we desire to be what Jeremy's talking about, this living proof, and that we are led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God leads us. He guides us. He directs us. And we are listening to you, Lord. We are hearing everything that you're saying to us. Father, I thank you for the peace of God that is down on the inside of our hearts, directing, guiding, and leading us in the right path, in the right direction. We thank you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
God loves you. You've seen it on the signs, billboards, and t-shirts. You've heard it said and preached over and over. But do you really understand the depths of His love? The Living Proof Package includes the CD series, My Father Loves Me, by Pastor George Pearson. Pastor George shares his dissatisfaction over his relationship with God and with the hustle and bustle of the world. He will help you discover a love that will heal all rejection, discouragement, and disappointments. Jesus is living proof of God's love, and our love for one another is proof of God's love in us. The Living Proof Package also includes Jeremy Pearson's sermon titled, Proof. Every day, every believer comes to the crossroad of spirit and flesh. It's your opportunity to prove that the Spirit of God is alive and working in you. Become living proof of the seed of the love planted in you today. Order the Living Proof Package today for only $20. Purchase the CD series by George Pearson's entitled My Father Loves Me and receive a copy of Jeremy Pearson's new teaching called Proof, absolutely free. Log on to our website at kcm.org, call our toll-free number 800-575-4455, or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Let your actions and words be living proof of God's love.
Praise God for the Father's love. To know that love, to know Him intimately, really is the beginning steps of how to make that choice, to be living proof, make the choice between the Spirit and the flesh. That's why our offer this week is a series that I did called My Father Loves Me. And basically what this series will help you do is truly understand the love that the Father has for you. And to begin to really learn some things about the love of God that will help get you started in identifying Him, being able to hear His voice, being able to distinctly and clearly discern what the Lord is saying to you. Really, knowing how much He loves you will help you love others. It all begins with the love of God. Now, along with this series, if you purchase this, we're going to put this in there free. And that is a message that Jeremy taught in church, our church, at EMIC on proof. He talked about the very things that we're talking about on this broadcast. We were just commenting about how quickly the time goes on the broadcast, but when you've got an hour and a half to really dig in and teach on these things, there's a lot you can get done. So, I want to encourage you to get these two, this Father-Son Living Proof Package, and you will enjoy both of these. Let me remind you, September 16th through 21st, right here on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain International Church, Days of Refreshing. We've got Brother Copeland, who's going to be speaking on Sunday night, and then Keith Moore comes in for the next couple of days, and Billy Brim will be with us for the rest of the week. We have services in the morning and in the evening. If you can't get here, we're going to be showing them online, emic.org. Go to emic.org. You'll be able to see what's going on with our church here. You can tune in to live services that we have on Sundays and Wednesdays, and also on-demand services. You can go back And we go back probably about 3 years now in our services. Go back and see as many as you want to. You can download them, get the messages for yourself. So be sure to join us, though. Information on the Days of Refreshing is also available online, the details about it and so forth. Before we go off the air today, I want to talk to you for just a brief second. One of the things that I'm involved with is Oral Roberts University. And I know that we've just begun a new school year. But there are juniors and seniors in high school right now. If you're watching, or parents, if you're watching, now is the time that you begin to prepare them for college. And I wanted to let you know that Oral Roberts University is the university of choice for Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Eagle Mountain International Church. I'm very involved with the university, chairman of the board, and I want you to make plans right now where your young people are concerned. So just go to www.oru.edu and you can get all the information you need about enrolling your children into ORU. It's never too soon to start the process of college. Sophomores, juniors, especially seniors, even though it's the beginning of a new school, for those of you that are in high school, you need to start and begin it right now. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's broadcast, Jeremy. We're going to wrap this up. Father, we just thank you and honor you for what you're doing on this broadcast. We thank you, Father, for blessing these people. This is the year of the blessing. And so we love you. God loves you. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. Remember, you can watch the Believer's Voice of Victory online. Just select the webcast of your choice and study the Word of God at your convenience, 24 hours a day. This is the year of the open door, and the blessing of God is for you. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry in 2007, we pray for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through His open door of the blessing this year. Right in the middle of a busy life, stop and take a breath of spiritual fresh air. Pastors George and Terry Pearsons invite you to come to the 2007 Days of Refreshing, September 16th through 21st at Eagle Mountain International Church on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Recharge your spirit and energize your faith as you sit under the life-changing teaching from Kenneth Copeland, Keith Moore, and Billy Brim. The 2007 Days of Refreshing, September 16th through 21st. For more information, go to emic.org.
Get up! Get up! Get up and declare my word, saith the Lord. For your victory is at hand in greater measure than ever before. Not because of greater work and labor on your part, but because of your faith in the blessing, and your inheritance is at hand. Rise up and head through the door. This is the hour of your victory. You will not fail it.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
If you're about to put on words, if you're about to put on something that is not the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and you stand and you look in the mirror of the Word of God, and you don't like what you see that you've got on or that's about to come out, change. Put something else on.